It's good to be in the house of the Lord with my family, and today we will be ending the service with our annual business meeting. Everybody is welcome to stay if you would like to know what's going on, although I'm going to be sharing in my message this morning quite a bit of what I would share in the annual business meeting, just some of the events that's coming up and places that we're going and so forth. But this morning I want to take just a couple of moments. If you got your Bibles, you can turn to Isaiah 54, verse 2. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, as I was praying and before the Lord and just praying for our church family and so forth, I felt very strongly. I heard the words, strengthen your stakes. Strengthen your stakes. And I knew immediately where that passage was, and I looked it up, and I've been meditating on it. And I just want to share a few thoughts with you this morning. And here's the reason why. I honestly believe that we're going to continue to see a lot of rumbling, a lot of storms, a lot of, you know, I'm talking about our culture right now. I'm not talking about physical, although that may be true too, but I'm just talking about there's just going to be a continual disturbance. But let that not disturb you, because that's necessary to awaken a people who are asleep, okay? It's necessary to open their eyes, those who have bought into lies of the enemy and so forth. And in order for there to be an awakening, so I'm one of those people. It's been years since I've heard an alarm. You can ask Jane. I hate alarms so bad that I could fall asleep at 2 o'clock, have to get up at 5 o'clock, set the alarm for 5 o'clock. I will wake up at 4:58. That's how bad I hate alarms. I just do that, okay? It's weird, I know, but I hate alarms. But some people, good Lord, they can sleep through anything, right? But you know, if you're in a deep sleep and somebody wakes you up and startles you, you know, that's not a pleasant experience. You know, you just want to slap them or whatever. It's not your most godly moment, right? And can I tell you, I really believe that that's going to be necessary for our nation to experience the move of the Spirit and the outpouring and the awakening. It's going to require them to go through a major shaking that's going to get their attention. I just believe that. And so because of that, we need to strengthen our stakes. We need to strengthen our stakes. Isaiah 54 says this. It says, enlarge your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes. Now notice, there are certain words. Enlarge, stretch, lengthen, and strengthen. If we want to grow stronger, it's going to require us to stretch. I hate stretching, okay? So I'm proud to say that I go to the gym almost every day. I'm not proud to say I never stretch. I hate stretching. Stretching is like horrible. People who go for stretching classes, I just like, forget it, man. No way. But you got to stretch, you got to lengthen your cords, and you've got to strengthen yourself if you want to grow. I like the way the Message Bible says it. It says, I'm going to tell you what it says here in just a moment. I've lost complete. It says this, clear lots of ground for your tent. Make your tents large, spread out, think big, use plenty of rope, and drive the tent pegs deep. See that? Drive the stakes deep. So Don Colby was so kind to help me. You know, if I'm just going to go out with a small little tent, a little peg like this with a little bit of rope would be sufficient to keep that tent down. I do hunt in a ground blind during the winter, the cold months, whenever I deer hunt, and I have a couple of blinds, ground blinds, and my pegs are about like this with a little rope like this, right? But the bigger your tent, the bigger your stake has to be, okay? I mean, we got some monster stakes here. Now, I'm not going to go with this stake right here and put my ground blind hunting. That would be overkill, right? But if you're going to put up a big tent, you've got to have a larger stake. And not only do you need a larger stake, but you're going to also have to have a thicker rope. And the rope, the bigger the stake, the bigger the tent, the stronger the rope. It's just common sense, right? And yet, so many people, they get so excited about the promises of God. They get so excited about the promises of God and the blessings that they bring, but they don't want to make the changes that's necessary for those promises. This is the reason why I often will say a prophetic word is not a guarantee. A prophetic word is an invitation for you to step into something, but it's going to require some changes on your behalf. Okay? And so, as we move forward, I think these are going to be turbulent days, but I also think they're going to be great days for those of us who will lengthen our stakes. This principle is all the way through God's word, by the way, okay? So one of my favorite parables I love to teach on is the parable of the talents. And in that parable, it says in Matthew chapter 25, it says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents, to another, 2 talents, and to another, 1 talent, say it with me, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. He's not going to give someone who has a 1 talent ability 5 talents because it will destroy him. It will not be a blessing to him. He will lose the 5 talents, or he'll at least lose 4 of them because water will seek its own level. He will lose 4 talents and in the process become discouraged, lose confidence in himself because everything's going the wrong direction. God would never do that to that person, okay? And so if you want more, you've got to become more. That's just a principle of God's word. And God will bless us accordingly. Now, there's 2 main things that jump out at me in this. And the first one is the lengthening of your cords. And to me, lengthening of the cords could represent a couple of different things. It could be, you know, we've got to expand our reach and our influence. We need to step up to the plate and want to reach further than we ever have. And I'm talking about individually as well as a church family. We need to be expanding and reaching further. It's going to require us to continue to stretch beyond our comfort zone. Okay? This is the reason why it's good for us to challenge one another, to exhort one another, to encourage one another, so that we will go beyond our comfort zone. Every one of us limit ourselves because of the fact that we are going to go so far, but we don't want to go any further because of a discomfort level. We've got to be willing to step out of our comfort zone in order to stretch and lengthen our ropes, which is going to mean developing new relationships. We've got to be always looking for that new relationship. And now I'm speaking specifically not only in the church family, but even outside the church family. Because discipleship and evangelism comes through relationship. And we need to have the courage. This is one reason why I do love Lifetime. Lifetime is my Lifetime gym, my gym that I'm at. That is my outside the church world bubble. It's my opportunity to strike up conversations with other men in the dressing room. But anyway, but it's my opportunity to strike up conversations with them and develop relationships with them. And you know what? I'm just as uncomfortable as you are. I really am. I'm very uncomfortable in doing that. But can I tell you, everybody's uncomfortable, and almost without exception, everybody is wishing that somebody would break the ice for them. I find that to be true. I mean, I can see a guy that I've seen there for weeks and he never talks to anybody, and it just so happens that, you know, their scenario allows, and I'll just strike up a conversation, and all of a sudden they open up immediately. Why? Because they're just looking for somebody to take the risk and reach out. And so we've got to intentionally make a positive impact. It's got to be intentional. It's not going to happen by chance. We've got to make that intentional. And so that would be dealing with the ropes. And just, again, depending on the size of whatever you're going to be, the tent is going to determine the length and the strength of the rope. But then the stakes. I want to take just a couple of moments to talk about stakes, because stakes are what stabilizes and brings security to the tent. And so it's those, I'm grateful. Yesterday we had a memorial service for Ed Bradshaw, and I said of him, as I have said of a number of especially men in our church through the years that I have done the memorial service, so many of them are like quiet giants. You hardly hear anything from them, but they're solid as a rock. And if you ever call on them, they're going to be there for you. And they are those stakes in the ground that bring some security to the tent. And we actually strengthen our stakes by building strong relationships and reinforcing our personal faith and values. That's how you build your stakes, is by strengthening your stakes, by developing those relationships with others and feeding your faith, building your faith, so to speak. But just as a stake needs periodic maintenance, we too must continually assess and strengthen our faith, our character, and our relationship. Life has a way of eating away at your character, eating away at your strength, and we need to constantly be coming back to the table and evaluating our character, evaluating our spiritual strength in the Lord. This is what we need to be doing at this time. So if we want small stakes and small ropes, we'll have small tents. But a larger tent requires larger ropes, and it requires more ropes. Can I say, church, what worked in the past is not necessarily going to work in the future. And we need to always be willing to make those adjustments. See, God promised us expansion, but he will not do it at the cost of instability or destruction. He's not going to bless you with more if it's going to destroy your life. You've got to strengthen your stakes. And I just want to remind us this morning that a tent requires more than one rope. A tent requires multiple ropes. And the bigger the tent, the more ropes you need and the more stakes that you need. Jillian, will you come up here real quick? Jillian came to me a while ago with what she felt like was a word from the Lord that really goes right with this point. I don't even know if you realize that, Jillian, but it really does. I want you to come up here real quick. Don't you appreciate our young adults in the church? Yay, yay, yay. Just share what you shared with me a while ago.
Everyone should have a ministry. In our lives and all of our seasons, we are called to divine purpose. Sometimes that ministry is international, within our cities, at our work or school, even in our own homes. I do not wish to undermine the ministry within ourselves, as we should be in constant pursuit of new revelations with our relationship with God. I pray we do not stay stuck in such our own self. I pray that we do not stay stuck in our own self-ministry, however. I pray that as we encounter new healing and wholeness, that we realize that we realize what we are called to next. May we never stop pursuing the gospel and the lives God wishes to touch. I pray for clarity and peace in our callings and a new fire and boldness to our ministries. May the Lord lead us all as we are in constant pursuit as apostles of this world.
Isn't that good? Every one of us have a ministry. I want to ask you, what is your stake or rope? It requires all of us to be a part. This is not a time for us to shrink back. This is a time for us to strengthen our stakes. Can you say amen? See, stakes and ropes have to learn to function together. They have to learn to work together despite their functions being different. We need to learn to honor each other's giftings and callings, but realize that they've got to fit together. Because otherwise, a stake unattached to a rope is simply a stick without a purpose. And there's a lot of people out there that are not connected to a church family. Listen, I'm not questioning their salvation. I'm not questioning that. I'm not questioning their love for Jesus. But I will tell you this. Disconnected from the local family, you're just a stick in the ground. Yeah, that resounding amen from all those in the church. And there's so many people, they want to go deeper. Want to go deeper, Pastor. But going deeper without being attached is literally meaningless. There's a lot of people out there. They want to go to another conference. They want to learn more about God, learn more about the Bible, learn more about the gifts of the Spirit, more about this, more of this. But they're not attached to anything, and they are just a cesspool where everything goes in and nothing flows out. We've got to be attached to one another and to the body of Christ. Because otherwise, going deeper is meaningless. You go deeper so that you have more to give away, right? It's the rope and it's the tent that actually gives the stake purpose. And so I just want to remind us, I'm going to take a couple of minutes this morning and just remind us of who we are at RCC. Some of you have heard this. This will be 20 times now. Others of you, this may be the first time you heard it, but it needs to be repeated. And that is, first of all, our mission statement here at RCC is we just want to love God and love people. I'm convinced that the whole Bible could be summed up, the whole plan of God could be summed up in the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That's the whole gospel right there, friend. Just love God and love people. And out of that, we have what I used to call four mandates, but COVID really made mandate a dirty word, so we now call it derivatives. I'm no more mandates, dear Jesus. But the first one is this, and that is we want to host and honor the presence of the Lord. Can I tell you, wasn't it great to have Nelson with us last week? And afterwards, I was sitting down, I took Nelson out for lunch before I took him back to the airport, and we were talking, and I said, you know, Nelson, I said, over half of those people in the congregation were not able to be underneath your ministry while you were here all those years. And if you noticed, Nelson might have sang two, maybe three songs over the entire worship segment. The rest of it was just lingering in the presence of the Lord, playing in the Spirit, maybe delivering a little prophetic word, blah, 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 blah. And yet I turned around and I looked at you, and every one of you had your game face on. I mean, you were there, whether you were familiar with him or not. And I told Nelson, I said, I am so proud to be able to be a pastor of a church family who doesn't need to be entertained during the song service, but who fully understands how to engage in worship and honor the Holy Spirit. He never felt the urge or the need to have to go to another song, but just to sit in the presence of the Lord. And even this morning, again, you did that. Hosting and honoring the presence of the Lord is so imperative. Without His Holy Spirit, we are nothing. Amen? And can I tell you, that doesn't happen by accident, church. It does not happen. There is a ton of prayer that goes on that helps create. It's not just music. There's prayer. There's worship that takes place. And I want to encourage you, if you're not part of what Pastor Patty loves to call Iron Dome ministry, it's just basically just pre-service ministry. It's where we have different areas that we pray over, starting at just 20 minutes before service. And people come in and pray. And I want to encourage you, come early to service. Don't come in, and I'm not looking anywhere right now, don't come in 15 minutes late, okay? Can I give you an honest assessment? And I'm not being mean, I'm just being honest. I was raised being taught that the most important person should be the last one that arrives at a party. Or an event. So even like the presidential address, you have all the congressmen, all the Senate and Congress, whatever, gathered, and then the president comes in last, right? And a wedding, who comes in last? The bride, yeah, because she's always the most important one. Don't forget that, men. But she's the most important one, right? And that's the reason why whenever I have a breakfast or a lunch with you or an appointment with you, I'm going to do my very best to make sure I'm there first and waiting on you. Because I want you to know that you're the most important person in this conversation, not me. Now, remember that next Sunday when you think you might be more important than Jesus. That's just. Now, I'm not going to ever judge you. I know some of you have 15 children to get to church. I get that. And mistakes happen, and accidents happen, and issues happen. I get all of that. I'm not going to condemn anybody. But can I tell you, to come early and say, we're going to prepare the way of the Lord, will make a huge shift in the atmosphere of worship. You hear my heart on that? And so do what you can. If you can't, come early. And you know what? All of you don't need to be up here praying. Some of you need to be out there just greeting new people as they come in and befriending them and saying hello to them and loving on them and making connection. But what I don't want you to do is come early and then just find a spot in a chair, sit down and pull out your phone, or even, you know, this works a little bit better, you know, this right here, and that way, you know, you don't have to engage with anybody. Or can I tell you, that doesn't help anything. You got a lot of hours to read your Bible. You don't have to necessarily do it right then, okay? You hear my heart, right? Right? Okay. Just chill a little bit, okay? But come early. Prepare. Man, this, I guarantee, you know what? They're having a watch party tonight, right? I guarantee there's going to be people, there's probably people right now tailgating, preparing for the Detroit Tigers to play, Lions to play tonight. And they're not even going to be there. They're in California. And they're going to make that kind of preparation for a game. How much more? How much more should we come and be fully engaged, right? By either coming for pre-service prayer or coming early to greet people who are coming to church for the very first time, and that what they need more than anything else at that moment is a friend, right? That will sit with them and engage with them and help them. Okay, all right. Also, I want to remind you that these cards, there's certain things that have just kind of fallen by the wayside. A lot of it was COVID. But we have cards that look like this for our guests to fill out, but also for prayer. If you need prayer, fill this out. You can put it in one of the boxes, one of the offering boxes. Just fill this out. Our staff will pray over them. Our prayer team, Pastor Petty, is an amazing prayer pastor that leads us in prayer in so many areas. She will have her team pray for them on Monday night. Monday night, we have prayer here every Monday night. We have midday prayer calls every morning, Monday through Friday. Pastor Patty has a prayer call right now at 6:30 in the morning. You can join in that on that. Friday morning, I'm here at 5:30. There's always, you know, a handful of people here on Friday morning. And I know that different people have different schedules. You live so far away, all those kind of things. Again, I don't expect you to do all that. I'm just saying that there's a reason why there's a freedom in this house. And it's not because of good musicians. It's because this place is bathed in prayer constantly. And we have prayer and worship night. Every third Friday, we try to have a prayer and a worship night here. These all flow into having an open atmosphere. But whenever we renovated our children's wing, we lost our 24/7 prayer room temporarily, although it's not really completely lost. My office is actually right now the 24/7 prayer room. Okay, some of you have keys, okay, and you can come into my office anytime you want to. You can't go outside my office. I'm the only pastor that gets locked into his office. I don't know, understand that, but anyway, I have to have a key to get out of my office to go into the other office. But anyway, it's a temporary thing. Our dream is to take the old CCM room. If you've been here a long time, choir room, the new term is meeting room, and make that into our 24/7 prayer room, okay? And what we're wanting to do is we're going to put a temporary wall that will be movable right out here, and we'll have a code that will be put on this back door here, and anybody who wants to can get a code to come, and you'll be able to come in this back glass door. You'll have access to either bathroom, and you'll have access to that one room for 24/7 prayer. We love, years ago, I had a dream of having a 24/7 prayer room, and we had one for about 10 years, and I'm not about to give up a 24/7 prayer room. I think that we need to have a place where people could come any time of any day to be able to come and wait before the Lord. And so you may want to give toward that vision, okay? I don't know exactly how much we're going to need. I'm going to guess probably maybe 30 grand total to do all the renovations that's necessary to make that happen, but it's going to be worth every penny of it. And but anyway, that 24/7 prayer room, and then also there's a National Day of Prayer that you might want to go ahead and put on your calendar. Pastor Patty is actually the head of the state National Prayer Day. And we'll be going down to Lansing on May 2nd for the National Day of Prayer. But can I tell you, prayer is so important to hosting and honoring the presence of the Lord. But right along with that is worship. And so I just want to ask you to continue. Don't forget, continue to be praying for us as we search for a worship pastor. I'm in conversation with a few of them. I won't mention their names or anything, but I want to let you know that once a month, I hope to bring in some of my friends to lead us in worship, to give our worship team kind of a break, although in some ways it makes them have to work harder. But by the way, can we just say a huge thank you to all of our worship people? They do. Oh, my God. They they are having to really pick up the play, you know, pick up a lot right now and so forth. And they're doing it with such a great attitude. They're being flexible. But I do have a couple of dates that are really important that I want to make sure that you get in your calendar. Next month, my friend Joshua and his wife Erica Fisher are going to be here, and we're going to move the Friday night to Saturday night again, and they're going to lead us in a worship service on that Saturday night, February 17th, and then we'll be here on the 18th during the AM service. And you're just going to love my friends, Joshua and Erica. They're just great worship leaders. They're going to be here in February. And then in March, I'm trying to get Christian Kuhn. I haven't got him nailed down yet, but I'm trying to get Christian Kuhn to come in for March. And then in April, Nate Marielke's already agreed to be with us here on Sunday morning, April 14th. So yay. But just be praying with us about that. And then one last thing real quick under this point, and that is that we do have a prophetic team meets, I think it's every other Sunday. So every other Sunday that meet afterwards. With anybody who would love to receive a prophetic word from the Lord, they're very solid people, good people, and all of that enhances the honoring and hosting the presence of the Lord. The second thing that's really important to us is delivering a revelatory word. To me, there's a difference between just preaching truth and preaching revelation. And to me, it's important that we have a thus saith the Lord every time we gather. And with that, I'm excited to let you know that on Wednesday night in February and March, we're going to be doing multiple classes again. We have a women's only class, as for me, a Bible study, and then a men's class through the book of James. And then Ben and Sarah, or Sarah and company, are going to be doing a parenting class that we've done before that was really successful. And then PK's doing a verse by verse through the book of Acts. And I want to encourage you to come out on Wednesday night. Also, I want you to notice the time. We're going to cut back the time on Wednesday night a little bit for our young families. Now, this is not for the youth department. This is just for our children's department and our young and our adults, okay? We're going to start at 7, be through at 8:15. At that point, you can go get your children and get home. And if you have teenagers, you got 15 minutes to get your children, hang around, build relationships. We don't want to rush the young people, okay? We want them to have that full hour and a half for their services. God's doing some great things back there. But at the same time, I think this would be a nice adjustment that will make it kinder for our young adult families. So that's going to be starting up. And also, don't forget that we're reading through the Old Testament this year. And February's reading plan is out there. You can pick that up. I'm warning you, this month is a rough month. It's Leviticus. Dear Jesus. So anyway, rough month, but, you know, barrel through it with me. God can even speak through Leviticus. But the third thing that's really important to us, the third derivative of Rochester, is developing meaningful lifelong relationships. And if you're not involved in a life group yet, I want to strongly encourage you to do so. We're going to be promoting some new ones very soon. We're working on that right now. One of the ones that I'm super proud of is our Ruth and Company. This is for our widows and older ladies, single ladies. Amazing, amazing ministry. Sarah Silk helps head that. Sarah Silk leads that one up. And Ruth and Company is a great, great ministry. But there's a lot of different life groups that you'll be able to get involved in. And I want to encourage you to do that, okay? Some of you have been asking, we are going to start up our church family lunches again after church. Our first one, though, is going to be on March 17th. So you can be planning toward that. This is where we just all bring a dish to pass, and after church we go back and we have a meal together, play some games together, just get to hang out, get to know one another. And so we will be doing that periodically throughout the year. And then don't forget our family camp out. Jane and I are going this year. We've already got our site. We've already got our RV rented. We're ready to go. But we're all going to Dunes Harbor Family Camp. And if you haven't signed up for that, you need to sign up for it quick, because I think our personal reservations are already gone. But it's just going to be a great time. But again, we've got to work on relationships, strengthening our relationships within us. And then last but not least is making an impact on our community. We need to continue to make an impact on our community. I'm excited to tell you, we actually had 31 water baptisms this year. Yeah, that's pretty good for us. I'm still believing for one a week, so that's 52. So we got to get a little ways to go. But I don't even know if you realize it, but this building is being used literally every day, almost literally every day, by our community. On Thursday morning, we have a Christian Bible study, which is an area-wide women's Bible study that meets here every Thursday morning. There are dozens and dozens of women from all over the community that comes here on Thursday morning. If you haven't been a part of that, you might want to check that out. I think they meet at 10? Somebody tell me. 9:30. Thank you. 9:30. And then both of our neighborhoods around here, they use our building for their neighborhood association meetings. I think that's cool. And here's the reason why I think that's cool. Because if I can get them in the building, that's one step closer. Yeah. It breaks the ice, right? And so they use our building every year. Premier Academy across the street, they use our building a couple of times a year. So we have dozens and dozens of young families in here constantly. Every Tuesday night, if you need healing or you know anybody that needs healing, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, in this building is the place to be. Cindy Cox does an amazing job with our healing ministry. And it's a great impact. It's making an impact in our community. So many people have come to Christ, have even joined this church family because of that ministry. And then every Monday, every second and fourth Monday, Oakland Alliance meets here. They're a group of Christians who want to get involved in politics and make a difference in our government. They actually use our building to come together and collaborate and pray over our government and so forth. And I'm excited to let you know this Tuesday will be the very first Tuesday. Every Tuesday moving forward, AA will be meeting here at 7 o'clock for those who are overcoming alcoholism. Isn't that great? But we're wanting to expand what we're doing in our community. Connor and Pastor Connor and Pastor Scott are helping us every month. We are now taking coffee and hot cocoa to Huggards Elementary, which is right here, to all their teachers. Every month they're doing that. In addition to the gifts that we're giving to the teachers, remember we gave every teacher $50 this year to help decorate their classroom. And Huggard is really loving us right now. And that's what we want, right? We want to let them know we appreciate these teachers who are just giving of themselves constantly to our students. And they're doing that. We do have some missions trips that are coming up this year as well. The young people are going to Detroit again in August 7 through 10. To minister to the people in Detroit. They'll be cleaning up some areas, holding some services, doing some outreaches. We are going to Dominican Republic again in June 17th. And then we are going to Guatemala again. We're going to be drilling some more wells in Guatemala in August 10 through 17th. Bob Otterstetter called me this morning. He's sick. He couldn't be here. I was going to have you be able to talk to him. But it's only $2,000 for that trip. It's a 10-day trip, and it would be, or a week trip, excuse me. But And then in October, we have our big outreach with a lot of different things, which I'm not going to bore you with all those. But we're just doing numerous things in the month of October. One outreach that you probably aren't even aware of is every third Sunday afternoon, Pastor Patty and a couple of people are going to Cedar Brook Senior Living, and they're holding a service for them at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And these people are so hungry. They can't go to church anywhere. And I'm not being mean. I'm just giving facts. There are some other groups that are going in there, but they're like, oh, man, they're so... And whenever Patty shows up with our team, they just like, oh, yay! So, I mean, they're just a breath of fresh air and a drink of water. And you know what? To go to a facility like this and love on some senior citizens for an hour can make a world of difference in somebody's life. And I would encourage you, please consider reaching out to Patty, and maybe you can go and just play guitar or go and bang on one of those boxes things, or just go and share your testimony, go and hug somebody, whatever it might be, okay? But great opportunity for us to reach our community. I'm really proud. We started a MOPS ministry this year. And I'm super proud of Chelsea Newell and Crystal Throne and Kelly O'Brien, who are just bringing a lot of leadership here. We're having quite a few moms show up now every week, aren't we? And many of them are outside of our church family. Young moms are needing all the support they can get. And I'm really super proud of the fact that we're doing that. And just be praying with us, because we're trying to create more and more ways that we can reach our community. The executive team, which is Pastor Kelvin, Pastor Sarah, and myself, we're really praying into even having an all-church serve day on August 3rd, which is a Saturday, where we're just going to go and serve our community. Go clean up some areas, help serve our community in some way. But I just want to end this way before I shift over, because I need to go over to our business meeting. I just heard the Holy Spirit say, strengthen your stakes. Church, this is a time for us to gather together. This is a time for us to feed one another, to strengthen ourselves so that we can not only endure what might come, but so that we can help others who are in that storm find stability in Christ. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So, Father, I just thank you for my church family. I thank you for all the wonderful things that you have done. And, Lord, we're believing you.